Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
How many of you took a look at the missions wall, the new missions wall in the cafe? How many of you guys saw that? Our facilities team, Dwayne Fick, our facilities team, did such a great job putting that together. So thanks, Dwayne. He's up in the foyer. He's up in the balcony. I'll wave at Dwayne right now. But thanks for doing that. You'll see a list of all of our missionaries out there. We've broken our mission strategy down to fall in what the fifth time we see the Great Commission mandate in the New Testament is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus says, "Stay in Jerusalem till the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." It's Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. That's really, Jerusalem's our city, our front porch. Samaria and Judea and Samaria would be our state. That's our backyard. That's Alaska. And the ends of the earth, that's our beyond. And so we list our missionaries from our front porch, the nonprofits, and those we invest here in town. And then we have our backyard, those we invest on a consistent basis here in Alaska. And then our world missionaries are listed there. Last year, we invested $236,000 in missions. We believe that we can change the world as we give back. Can't outgive God. How many of you guys believe that? You cannot outgive God. So as we start this series, I'm excited because at True North, we truly believe our mission is for people to encounter God. In other words, for people to know God. We honestly believe that everyone in our city should know God, everyone in our state should know God, and everyone around the world should know God. How many of you guys believe that? People matter to God, so they should matter to us. We want everyone to encounter God. We want everyone to experience community. That's to know each other. That's why we say at True North, we grow in circles, not in rows, in community. And lastly, to be equipped for destiny. Why? I believe the two best days of your life is, number one, the day you were born. And number two, the day you realize why you were born. Two best days. The day you took your first breath and the doctor slapped your behind. Best day. Second best day is when you realize why God made you, why he made your personality the way he made you, why he wired you as a task person or a people person. Why he designed you and knit you together in your mother's womb the way he made you. The way he fashioned you. See, friends, we were born to make a difference. So today, I want to launch this series. Why? Because I believe our lives matter. And when we understand why God made us the way he made us, we understand now we can do something with how he made us. And so I want to look at our text this morning. Psalms chapter 112, verses 5 and 6. And the author says, good. Well, I went through puberty right there. You see that? It's okay. Good. We'll come to, gosh, I'm not old. That's good. I'm still going through puberty. Watch out as I mature, church. It's going to be fun. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely. Think about that for a second. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely. And who conducts his affairs with justice. One part of that's talking about giving. The other part is talking about living. Surely he will never be shaken. Now here's the deal. We can't stop the shaken. But we can stop from being shaken. If you live off the coast of Kodiak, You probably were shaken, but you can live your life in such a way that if you lend generously and freely and conduct your affairs with justice, surely he will never be shaken. Listen, a righteous man will be remembered forever. This is a legacy verse. This is David. David didn't get A's in everything. David made some poor choices. David didn't always do everything right. But he realizes if you're generous and you lend freely and you live and conduct your affairs with justice, the world around you might be shaken, but you won't be shaken. And a righteous person will be remembered. Anyone here want to be remembered for good things? Yeah. We're talking about the dash right now. What's a dash? See, there's the time you were born, and there's a date, and now there's a dash. We're living in the dash. All of you, if you're a gal, you could be La Dasha right now. It's a dash. And then there's an expiration date, and we don't know when that expiration date is, but the reality is, what will you be remembered for? You'll be remembered for what happens in the dash. The moments we steward, the moments we never get a second chance to live again. All we have is right now, and today is the grand opening on the rest of your life. See, here's what I know about life. If you don't define why you're here, your problems will. See, well, you might be defined by drug addiction or alcoholism or choices that are poor, or you can choose to define and understand why God made you, and now you define life and not let problems define you. See, legacy is where your life lives on after your expiration date. Solomon said it this way: where there's no vision, where there's no revelation, where there's no understanding for why you exist, we perish. See, our text says a righteous man will be remembered forever. Why? Your life lives on. See, you make decisions, and your decisions make you. And let me just say this: as parents, we make decisions. And we can anchor our family chain, or we can yank our family chain by the decisions we make. This verse teaches us there's two truths or maxims relevant for the theme of legacy. Now, this verse informs us that legacy happens by giving something that will outlive us. And number two, living so my life outlives us. Giving so my life outlives us, that's giving. And living so my life outlives us, that's to conduct your lives in such a way full of justice. See, there's the goal of life is not to live forever. The goal of life is to live in such a way what you do makes a huge difference in the world when the expiration date's up. See, as a pastor, I have two main roles. Now, some of you might think, well, no, you have a lot of main roles. Now, there's a lot of things I do for my job, but there are two main roles I have for you. Number one is to prepare you to live life now. That's why we have finance life groups. That's why we have Bible study life groups. That's why we have life groups on marriage. That's why we have life groups on parenting. That's why we have life groups for singles. That's why we have life groups studying different topics in the Bible. Why? To prepare us to live our life right now. And secondly, to prepare you for eternity. Yeah. See, Romans says it this way: you then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Paul's saying, hey guys, before you judge your brother and sister, there's some things you got to internally look at right here. He says, or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all, say all, stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves. All of us, there'll come a day of acknowledging Jesus. All of us, there'll come a day of accounting for how we lived our life. See, there's a sacred, assessment coming. There's a divine appraisal coming, church. There's a holy evaluation. There's a test. And I can't tell you if it's multiple choice. I can't tell you if it's true false. I can't tell you if it's short answer. I can't tell you if it's matching. But I can tell you what's going to be on the test. I just can't tell you how he's going to word it. But I know there'll come a day with an appraisal, evaluation, screening, a supernatural screening. And there's two questions on this test. First question, what did you do with my son Jesus? See, we must give an account for this acknowledgement. Every knee will bow and every tongue will acknowledge. The question is, what did you do before the test came to what have you done with his son Jesus? See, hell is not a place where God pays you back for what you've done. Hell is a place where you pay your own sins. Jesus died on a cross to forgive you of your sins. He's not paying you for what you've done. You're paying yourself for what you've done. I remember knocking on someone's door in Bible college because we had to do door-to-door evangelism, which I thought was, number one, it's the worst form of evangelism on the planet. Probably done more hindrance to the kingdom of God than good things. You know what you get when you cross a Jehovah Witness, or excuse me, a Mormon, or Jehovah Witness and an atheist, right? Someone who knocks on your door for no reason at all. Sorry. Okay. Bad joke. It's a dad joke right there. God, but I remember knocking on a door and this guy goes, well, if God is so loving, why would he send my little girl to hell? Because I love my daughter. And I said, God doesn't send anyone to hell. Our own choices send us to hell because we haven't asked ourselves the question, what have we done with Jesus? See, the Bible says this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Another book. There's books and there's a book. Because there's a test coming. The question is, are you written in the books or in the book? It says the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they'd done as recorded in the books. See, friends, there's a book and there's books. You don't want to be in the books. You want to be in the book. See, there's a great white judgment, great white throne. It's a grace judgment where, see, you can't earn to be written in the book. You earn the books. But Jesus died on the cross so your name could be written in the book of life. See, there's lots of books, but then there's a book. See, not every one of you who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say, I've done this, I've prophesied, I've done, but he says, away from me, I never knew you. In other words, your name is not in the book of life. I don't know where you're at today, but if you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Jesus, your names are written in the books and everything you've ever done are in the books. But there's a book of life that unless your name is in that book, you have to answer that question someday. Are you in the books or the book? See, what did you do with my son Jesus? The right answer is I knew him personally, Pastor. I had a personal relationship with him. See, the first judgment determines your eternal destiny. That's the first test question. The second question on the spiritual assessment is, what did you do with what I gave you? Say it again. What did you do with what I gave you? See, in 2 Corinthians, it says it this way, chapter 5. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's the great white throne judgment where it's a grace judgment. This other judgment is the one we ask the second question is, what have I done with what you've given me, God? So we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We call this, some theologians, the Bema seat judgment. It's the time, it's not the grace judgment. It's not the one you can enter heaven because of a relationship with Jesus. It's the one where God tests what we've built. It was built with wood, hay, stubble, or costly. It's what did we do with what God gave us? It's Matthew chapter 16. Matthew says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his heavens or his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has what? Done. What have you done with what he's given you? To whom has much is required. To whom has little, little is required. But there is a day where God will judge us for what we've done with what he's given us. So what did you do with what I gave you? The right answer is I gave my life away. I was generous and I conducted my life in such a way, full of justice. Your life is not about your life. Your life is about how can I give it away to the people around me. How will you answer those questions? See, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. And listen, he has set eternity on the human heart. See, two greatest days in this world, the day you were born and the day you realized why you were born. In other words, if God has put eternity in our hearts, when we realize we were made by God and for God and designed to be used by him to reach the world around us, something. Has anyone ever found that place where he says, I was created for this? Anyone know what I'm talking about? I've had some of those aha moments recently. Have you had an aha moment where you realize why you were born? For the past 6-7 years I've been working on my doctorate, and I'm in my dissertation writing phase right now. And I came home yesterday. I'm 2/3 done with chapter 3, and I'm about 80% done with my two main writing chapters. And I said, I told Heidi, I was born for this. Not to write. I'm not saying I was born to write. Don't misinterpret me there. I was born to understand evangelism and church growth. That's my topic. I was born. How do you create a church that reaches lost people that don't know Jesus? Do you realize half of our city is under the age of 30? Half of Fairbanks, Alaska is under the age of 30. Yet those under 30 are vacating our churches like it's a plague across the world. How? So I told him, but eternity is on your heart. And when you find out why you're created, that's why if you have not gone through Grow Track, maybe you've been in this church a long time. Grow Track is that track. Part of that is to understand your spiritual gifts, your personality, how God wired you so you know where you're called to serve and make a difference. Not every one of us is called to be employed at a local church, but all of us are called to serve in a local church doing works of ministry to reach people for Jesus. And when you understand why God made you, you realize I was made for this moment. And I'm made to be an actor on God's story, on God's stage in this history, that the time we live in. Do you know the answers to the two questions? If you stood before God, and you're facing a spiritual audit, how are you living your life? I hope you're living your life, what I want to be called, driven by eternity. Driven by the fact that someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess he's Lord. And driven by eternity, knowing that we stand before God someday and he will reward us for what we've done. And here's the reality. Some of us, we can say, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. He goes, I never knew you. Because the most important thing in the world is knowing who Jesus Christ is as your personal Savior. Right. Driven by eternity. When I'm driven by eternity, I want to talk about three ways we know we're driven by eternity as we close. Number one, I'm driven by eternity when I intentionally give what I have. Give what I have. See, you have two arms, which means you can hug. You have 10 fingers, which means you can text. Doesn't mean you can spell if Siri bumps up. Now, I heard a joke the other day, actually this morning early, and I was laughing about 4:30 in the bed, and my wife woke up, what are you laughing at? It was a Samsung joke. Because some of us have realized Apple is God's product. Delilah uses Samson. Okay, Sorry, that was a bad, it was on Facebook, bad dad jokes. You should go there. They're kind of funny. You know you're old when you watch Facebook jokes at 4:30 in the morning. Okay, let's get back here to the notes here. Lord, I want to leave a legacy. But if you have wisdom, you have a responsibility to share it. How are you intentionally giving your life away? I talked with someone before service today, and I said, hey, you know, and he's been at this company for years, helped start the company, and he's been there for 30, 40, maybe 50 years now. And I said, so is there, he said, well, the twins are part owners, and they're trying to figure out how to retire. They're a couple of, he says, but I'm trying to find my replacement. And so we sent a guy to school to get some electrical engineering. When he comes back, he'll know more about electrical stuff than I do. And I thought, that's the way to leave your company better than you found it. How are you giving away and investing? The goal of life is not to see how much money we can compile and give away when we die. Why don't we give it away when we're alive? See, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. I have found that some of the wealthiest people are some of the stingiest people, and some of the poorest people give it all away because they realize it's a blessing to have what I have. I'll save up for a rainy day. I want to encourage you to think about what is it? What is it that this year, on the seat in front of you when you sat down, hopefully you didn't sit on it, but we have what we call, we have our faith missions promise, and I want you over the next several weeks to pray about, can you this year, what can you do beyond your tithe? Intentionally give, to be generous in every way, so missions and ministry in our front porch, our backyard, and our beyond can happen. The back of the card, we'll talk about it more in a minute. We have 5 missions trips we're taking. Our prayer is 100 of you this year will go on a missions experience. And I believe this. I believe when you realize that the world's bigger than the challenges at your work environment or the challenges at your home, you'll come home and be more thankful for what you have. How do we begin to look at the driven by eternity in the area of intentional giving? I want to encourage you to think about being a percentage giver. Think about tithing. I always challenge people, before you even think about making a faith commitment to missions, think about doing what God's asked us to do initially, which is to tithe. And I'm convinced that there's a blessing on your family and your finances when you tithe. And I'm convinced time will tell if that's not what you do and you know what the answer is when it comes to tithing and you don't. I believe that there honestly is not a blessing. God can't bless what there's a hindrance to. How do you do this? Percentage give, tithe. Number two, be intentional. Secondly, a missions faith promise, which is how God, and here's the deal. There's a really good ROI on missions investments. And some of you are driven by the bottom line. And some of you understand you make investments now only to see later on big dividends in return on those investments. ROI, return on your investment. And we make it a goal here. We don't want to at all manipulate you when it comes to giving. So please pray on what God wants you to give. Because here's the reality. We're gonna pray and we're gonna make commitments to missionaries and projects, believing that God's gonna speak to the people to make it happen. And one of our goals this year is we've pledged $30,000 to help build a new building in Fort Yukon. Because we believe that hub city over there on the Yukon needs a strong community church, a strong hub city to bless the whole region. So maybe the next month you'd pray about, could you give a sizable donation to help make that happen? Pray about it. And lastly, how do we do that? Practice being kind and giving your life away to those around you. Practice that. The second way we live driven by eternity is when I ask, I will intentionally decide to serve other people. See, here at True North, we give people a time to kind of catch up. There's people that come here and maybe they're licking their wounds and maybe the world was really hard on them and maybe they came from another church and I don't know. Maybe you came and you made a commitment to Jesus and you're trying to serve him on this new journey. We give people the time to kind of acclimatize, okay? Hey, to kind of get the spiritual side of your life going. But there comes a time where we say, hey, listen, it's time to quit sitting around, because leaving a legacy is when you start to give back to other people and you begin to serve. See, that's why Jesus says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as what? A ransom for many. That's why we say around here, hey, attend one and what? Serve one. Attend one and serve one. And lastly, bring one. Attend one, serve one, bring. What does that mean? You're living your life to leave a legacy, because it's not just about you. I'm convinced if you come to church because you think church is about you and your needs being met, you're not thinking about legacy at all. You're thinking about primacy. You're thinking about yourself. And friends, the only organization on the planet that does not exist to serve its members is the church. Think about that for a second. The only organization on the planet that exists not for the benefit of its own members is the church. We are here to serve what? A broken humanity. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Rick Warren's quoted for saying that, but Thomas Aquinas said it hundreds of years earlier. That's why there's a serve card in the seat pocket in front of you, and you can serve as kids ministry, youth ministry, first impressions. You can be part of the live stream team if you like technology, sound, lights, production. You can make legal addiction back here by making coffee for people. Christian crack. administration, prayer, hospital visitation, administration. We have a team of chasers. We call them chasers, people who, we've had 98 first-time visitors fill out visitor cards this year so far. And we have a team that calls and chases and thanks them for coming and asks if there's anything they can pray with them about. We have lots of places to serve. If you're driven by eternity, you stand before him and say, what have you done? Well, you know, I was good. I sat in the same place every week. I got upset when that new kid sat there, but I forgave him quick, God. Easter this year. I want to throw this out. Easter this year, we're doing 8 gatherings. 6 on this campus, 1 in New Ixit, and 1 in Nanana. And maybe someone here will write a check for a couple $1,000 to fly a few people to New Ixit so we can do church in New Ixit. But that's going to be something we need somebody to step up and say, I'll do. Because we don't, it's $1,100 to fly, or maybe someone will fly us out there. I don't know. But let me throw it out there. Let's dream for God for Easter this year. We have 5 missions trips. Don't just pray about what you can give. Pray if you should go. No, let me say it this way. Pray if you're called to stay. Because God said to go. Go to all the world, preach the gospel. It doesn't say stay. Pray if you should stay. Let us know if you're interested. We'll get back to you. Japan, there's a typo. We apologize. It's $2,200, and that includes the airfare. You can go buy yourself a cheap phone over there. When we're driven by eternity, and we'll close with this as the worship team comes, we'll intentionally share Christ with other people. When you're driven by eternity, you give. When you're driven by eternity, you serve. And when you're driven by eternity, you conduct your lives in such a way you share Christ with other people. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, we are Christ's ambassadors. Now, ambassadors, that's a church word we grew up with. Probably a better understanding would that be, we're his representative, we're his delegate, we're his minister, we're his advocate, we're his supporter, we're his backer. God's making his appeal to the world through us. Luke says it this way, go out into the country and urge everyone you find to come so that my house will be full. God likes a full church because he wants his house full of people. Why? Because that means there's people who are nuns or duns with church. They've never had anything to do with God, or they're done with God. He wants the nuns and duns to come to know him. He wants them to have a relationship with him. Because he knows that everyone someday will have to stand before him for the 2-question test. 1, what have you done with my son? And 2, what have you done with what I gave you? This week, as you go through your daily life, I want you to be thinking about, am I driven by the fact that someday I'll give an account to him for every moment I've lived? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ. If you were to die today, the expiration date on the milk carton of your life was to come up, and today was your last day, and life was snuffed out. The candle wick of life was burned out, and there's no more. Do you know for sure you go to heaven when you die? If you don't know for sure, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. I say it this way, it's as easy as A, B, C, A. We all have to admit we've sinned. We've all sinned. A, admit. B, believe. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, many of you know it. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. God assumes we're all dying. God assumes that there's an expiration date. You will not perish, but have everlasting life. A, admit you've sinned. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And C, confess your sins. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. What have you done with Jesus? I'm prepping you for the final test. I'm giving you the study guide right now. What have you done? If you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Jesus, the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You can just do it now so you can pass the test when you get there. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this place this morning? You're here today. I have a question for you. What have you done with Jesus? Have you, could you pass the test today? The test is, I know him as my personal Savior. I admit I've sinned. I believe he died, and I confess my sins, and he forgave me. Have you done that multiple choice? It's all of the above, A, B, C. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not in right relationship with Jesus and I can't pass the test, but today I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to make him the Lord of my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just wave at me if that's you. Anyone in here, wave at me and say, Pastor, today I want to make a commitment to Jesus. Just wave at me all across this room. Anyone at all, say, Mark, that's me. I want to pause for a second. Anyone say, Mark, that's me. I want to be in right relationship with Jesus. Is there anybody at all? Just wave your hand at me. Would you look at me real quick? Here's the second question he's going to ask. Is what have you done with what I gave you? See, Timothy says it this way as I close. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. When you lay up treasures in heaven, you are taking hold of life that's truly life. Legacy is there's more to this life than life. What will live on after me? What will live on after me? Pray with us this month. This year, our prayer is that we would through faith pledges and income that comes in for missions, that we would eclipse $300,000 this year for missions. We have goals and dreams, but you could help us know how to strategize by, if you want to make a faith promise this month, just go home, pray about it with your wife, or pray about it if you're single. Pray about it. What can I give as a one-time gift? What can I give monthly? If you want to go on a missions trip, let us know and just drop in the offering envelope next month, next week. Give it to an usher on the way out today. Drop it by the Connect desk. Give it to the cafe. Lots of places to drop it off. But what can you give and how can you serve and how can you be? Let's all do something, amen. Would you stand with me as we close today? Let's sing this song with Heidi. In Psalms, it says, good will come to him who's generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. I will not be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. Let's live a life of giving and living. Let's give away what we have on this earth and be driven by eternity. Lord, today, in fact, pick up the card in front of you. It was on your, just pick it up on, it was on your seat. Just pick it up. Let's pray over it right now. God, this is a card. But God, it represents some folks that maybe for the first time will give to missions. Or maybe for the first time I'll go on a missions trip. God, it represents an opportunity to do something that will live far beyond our earthly days. We were made to make a difference. We were made to be driven by eternity. Help each of us to do that. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, church. If you think you have a friend that would enjoy this legacy series, would you invite him next week? Come on back. God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Have a great week. See you next Sunday.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.